So we are on Rishai and Dalet, getting towards the end of Rishai and Dalet. Now, this is another one of these sections in Shulchan Aruch where, like, a lot of the discussion is elsewhere, meaning in Hilchos Tefillin is the first spot in Shulchan Aruch where the discussion about letters is had. So a lot of this discussion is over there. But we'll, I guess, just focus on what's here, and that should give us enough with regards to the laws of Sefer Torah. So as you see, the tour is pretty extensive as to what they write. The tour is getting into specific some letters as to what issues to look out for, particularly as you can see from the letters like a tes. So if the tes has things that the two tops of a tes come and join to one another, right? The ches has to be written in that particular way. The issue of the yud, the kotzil shel yud, is discussed here. I thought it would be difficult to go through the details of every letter that is mentioned, but that's what's discussed over the course of the tour. Now, if we go to the I think that we could take out of here, though, is the as we go towards the, I guess, this page 2 on the source sheet, the other side page, Reish Yud Ches, in the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef quotes from Beperek HaKometz, right, the very top line on page Reish Yud Ches. It says, Beperek HaKometz Amar Rava, Zayin Osios Trichos Gimel Gimel Ziyunin, Ve'elu Hein Shatniz Getz. Okay, so those are the seven letters that require three tagim, as the Gemara calls them, Ziyunin. We'll see if that's why is it called Ziyunin. Ziyunin, it sounds like, are the letters Zions, meaning there's little antennas on top, and perhaps even the requirement that there be things coming out of the side. We'll get to that later. But the that's quoted in the Gemara. In fact, this Gemara is right after, there's the story of the famous story of Rabbi Akiva in Maseches, or of Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva in Maseches Menachos, where Moshe tries to understand. So tries to understand the Torah, and it gets transported years into the future and sees Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is darshaning the kol, even the tagim in the Torah, even the crowns on top of the letters. And then Moshe Rabbeinu turns to that's not exactly how the Gemara goes. The Gemara says that Moshe came up and saw Hashem writing and saw all the letters and comments to Hashem, like, wow, those are really nice letters. What's the deal with the crowns on top? So Hashem says, oh, don't worry about that. Rabbi Akiva will come along and figure out what those tagim, what those crowns on top mean. To which Moshe Rabbeinu says, cool, who is this Rabbi Akiva? And that's when he gets transferred into the future and gets to sit in Rabbi Akiva's classroom and doesn't know what's going on and is all depressed that he doesn't know what's going on in Rabbi Akiva's classroom until Rabbi Akiva is asked by one of these students, where do you know this from? Rabbi Akiva responds, oh, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai, at which point Moshe Rabbeinu is relaxes. Okay, and then he goes back to Hashem and says, by the way, what happens to this guy, Rabbi Akiva? And then Moshe gets transported to the scene of Rabbi Akiva being executed, to which Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zu Torah v'zu schora, like, how could this be? This is the reward for such a Talmud Chacham. And Hashem tells him, Shasok, be quiet, all right, that's none of your business. Okay, so that's the very famous part of the Gemara. The very next line is, hey, by the way, what are these tagim, what are these crowns that Hashem was alluding to? And the Gemara responds that Rava says, ah, those are these seven letters, the Shatnez Getz, where there are crowns on all of them. Rashi adds in, then, by the way, it's also the halacha by a tzadi kafufa, as well as by, meaning the tzadi, the regular tzadi, as opposed to tzadi tzofit, as well as the nun pshuta, the long nun, is also going to have crowns on top. So the question then becomes, and the Gemara has a couple of other letters that have not necessarily crowns, but have little tagim that come up or down. So the question then becomes, and it's a machlokas rishonim, how serious, I don't know if seriously is the right term, but how ma'akev, meaning how necessary, are these specific crowns? So if you skip to the next section of the Beis Yosef here, so the last of the wide lines, it says, Vim chisar elu hazayunim kasav rambam she'enu pasal. That what if you're missing one of these zayins, you're missing some of these crowns? So says the Rambam that it doesn't pasal the Sefer Torah. And the Beis Yosef quotes, "It zel lishona perek zayim mehilchos sefer Torah v'yizar ba'osios hagadolos v'hakatonos v'hanakudos v'hamashunos kigon hapein hanichfafos va'osios hakumos." You have to be careful with all of the letters, the big ones, the little ones, the with dots, without dots, and the p's that they should be bent, and the letters that should be also bent. K'moshe atiku ha-sofrim, as the sofrim know, ish mi pi ish. Bizar betagin, and you should be careful about tatagin. Uveminyanam yesh os sheyesh aleha tag acha echad v'yesh os sheyesh aleha zayin v'chol hatagin betsuros zayin hein dakim kachut hasara. And the Rambam says there's some that have only one little line on top. Some have as many as seven. It's unclear what exactly he is referring to, but apparently the Rambam had a letter that had seven tagim, and they all should be like a zayin, meaning very skinny, like a chut hasara. Now, what exactly did he mean by the Zion there? So once again, I see that term. The Rambam apparently in the Tshuvos Pe'er Hador, says explicitly that they should be shaped like a Zion. And we'll see there are those that are, actually the Piskei Tshuva quote just says, see the Pe'er Hador. That is, just mention it now then, there are those that are machmir, that the tagim on top of the letters should be like a, should have these zions on top. Should not just be lines going up, but should actually have lines going to the side. Here, let me show you a picture here. So in the inside Stam Sefer, am I trying to get this into the screen there? There. Right, there. So you see on top of the zion, so it's not just a line going up, it's also a lot like an antenna with a ball on top, right? So that's supposed to be Zion, because that way you have branches going on to two sides. So the Rambam apparently is machmer for this. The Rambam, and even though it's not so clear from the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam seems to say that that's what it should be. And you'll see, you know, in Sifrei Torah, that will have that they don't just have lines going up. Some of our Sifrei Torah have this. They actually have like these balls on top. Now the Rambam is clear that it doesn't have to be. It's not machmir that has to be a full Zion, like written out like a Zion, but that those letters on the side, the little part like the T as opposed to just pointing up, it seems like the Rambam holds is ma'akiv. Now, what does he mean it's ma'akiv? The Rambam just finished telling us that he doesn't think any of the tagim on top are ma'akiv, are necessary. So it means is that in order to fulfill the minug of tagim, according to the Rambam, you need to have those lines on top as well. There are, though, that is sort of like a chumrah that people request. However, to do it in a Sefer Torah or a Megillah is one thing. To do it in a pair of tefillin, where you're much more limited in space, is another thing, right? Not such an easy chumrah to fulfill. But that's one of the things on the books that's based on this Rambam. However, the Rambam, however, says that kol hadvar melu, but all of these things with regards to the lines, lo nemru el lemitzvah min amufkar, is really only required in order to do the best. Right, im shina betikun ze o shelo dikdek betagim. But if you change it a little bit, or you're not careful about the tagim, v'chasav kol haosios ketikunan, but you write all the letters correctly, hareza sefer kasher. It's still going to be a sefer kasher. It's still going to be kasher. So the Rambam holds that all this stuff is nice. Probably adding in, I forgot where I saw this along the way, but probably the Rambam felt. I mean, Rava doesn't say that. Rava says that these letters need to have tagim. So where does the Rambam get off saying this? So the Rambam probably assessed that the Rava was describing what the minhag was at the time amongst sofrim. But to say that that's ma'akev, even for those seven letters, the Shatnez Gates, suggests the Rambam that it's not going to be ma'akev. However, v'yesh l'kmu'alav, there are those that wonder, lamed lo hiskir ziyun ha'osio Shatnez Gates ha'muskar b'talmud, right, the Rambam doesn't even mention those seven letters. V'nir elisha huzal savar, shalo barava, the Beis Yosef himself said it, v'nir elisha huzal savar, that he assumed, shalo barava elalumod sheminog ha'sofrim l'zayin avali kuvalo, that he was only coming to tell us that was the minog at that time, but not telling us that it is ma'akiv. However, quotes the Beis Yosef, whoever says, but the Rush disagrees. I mean, the Torah quotes his father Rush, saying that no, if you're missing it, it's a puzzle. Kvar kasafti b'tur arachayim b'simin Lamed Vav, Shekini Ramidivir Bala Truma, Hagos Maimini, Va'agur, Kasu Hashim Rabinu Tam, Lipsal, to say that it's Pasal, V'gam B'Ksas Nuschos, Sifra Rabinu, Kasuv Kain, B'Shem Rabinu Tam. And in some Nusach, even Rabinu, even the Tur, quotes that in the name of Rabinu Tam, that if you are missing these Tagim, it is Ma'akev, and therefore it would be Pasal. Rabbeinu Yerucham Kasa, V'Shem Rabbeinu Hai, V'Shem Meforshe, V'Tivi Aram, Shatagim Einam El Mitzvah Min Amuvchar. However, he quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham from the Torah saying that that seemed to hold like the Rambam that the Tagim are only for Mitzvah Min Amuvchar and are not Ma'akev. So it seems like we just have a Machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rush, whether these Tagim are Ma'akev or whether they are not. Now, surprisingly, in the Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch just quotes the Shita of the Rambam and does not quote the Rush, and not only that, but the Rama doesn't even quote the Rush. I just noticed Bob's comment. But not only doesn't even quote the Rush, which is interesting. The Mishnah Berurah does, which we'll get to. But anyways, that is the story with these Tagim. So they are important. The Gemara does mention them. We'll see what the Shulchan Aruch says, but the minug is to be machmir specific, certainly for the shatnez gets, for those seven. The other ones are subject to minhag, but certainly for a stam item to be considered lechachila or mehudar, it certainly would require these tagim. When I categorize some mezuzas, I categorize them as kosher, lechachila, and mehudar. So people ask me, what's the difference? So kosher, I tell them, are certainly kosher and are checked, but are not guaranteed to have all of the tagim. Certainly in mezuzas and smaller mezuzas and certainly pairs of tefillin, it sometimes is difficult to have all of those tagim. However, we do try to fix them, meaning for those seven letters, so often the letters might crack, like an older pair of tefillin, so that's one of the things you might see, is that the tagim become disjointed from the letter itself. So do we fix it? So the minhag is to try to fix for those seven letters, but not necessarily other letters. I mean, those seven are considered to be more important than the other ones. What? Yeah, so the Rambam seems to say no. I mean, the assumption from the Shitas of the Rambam is that it's not. The Rambam doesn't quote those seven letters as being different than any others, and the Rambam says that that tagim are not ma'akiv. So we don't say, and we'll see that's the way that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. But and once again, you get into this issue of, well, what does it mean it's not ma'akiv? Meaning you have to throw out the mezuzah, you have to get a new one. If you have one, like if you wrote it already, can you still sell it? Like it's you gotta have these. It's a little difficult to figure out what exactly it means when we say it's kasher b'dieved or it's not ma'akev. Like, what does that mean in terms of the realm of selling things back and forth? Like, for instance, if a person says, I want a mehudar mezuzah, and it turns out it's missing tagim, so then that's a mekachtos, because mehudar means something specific. But in terms of a halachic issue, just within the realm of stam, it's hard to decipher what should be considered what with regards to the... with regards to what's considered b'dieved versus l'chadchila. The last section here in Zion does not quote, is not coming from a Gemara, but does quote the idea that you cannot, let's just read a little bit of it. So, Kasav Agos Maimini, it's not even in the Torah either, but Kasav Agos Maimini b'shem Mesechta Sofrim, Iruv Es Ha'osios, that you mix the letters. I'm not sure what it means by mixing the letters. I looked up the Mesechta Sofrim itself. I didn't understand. I don't understand. Other than it might mean letters that kind of fold into one another. I'm not sure. Had I had more time, I would send a note to one of my Sofer buddies asking them what that's referring to. But I think it means that letters should never enter into others. I have a feeling that's what it means. Osha hifsik be'emsa b'shem hareza lo yikra bo. But or there's like a separation in the middle of the name, so you shouldn't read from that sefer. Now, yeah. So what does it mean the middle of the? Why is the middle of the name different than any other letters? If you see the hagos v'haaros on the bottom, So in Yud Gimel, he says there, Ayin Sham Benuschos Hagra. Take a look in the Gra. Shetzayin Shebechol Pam Shekasuv Shem Kavanas Lateva. That when it says Shem, it means words. So meaning there should not be any spaces in the words, as we talked about last week. And then he says, Sofer Shepasuk Oshenikud Roshe Hapsakim Lo Yikrabo Gilo Oshirivbo Haos Lo Yikrabo. That if you have a sefer that put an interruption, or he was menakid, he put dots in on the top of psukim, don't read from it. Lo yikrabo gilo, o she'iriv bo ha'os, lo yikrabo. Or if there was a letters that were mixed into others, you shouldn't read from it, meaning sounding like it is ma'akev. And why is that? So the tshuvus la Ramban, simen reish la meches, nasan tam lipsul sefer Torah menugad, mishum de'ein lanu, ela Kantina somi Sinai. It was all the Kinesina somi Sinai. I mean, all we have is always given over at Sinai. V'chein kasver v'enu yirochem sefer Torah ha-menukad pasul v'afilu hisiru menu ha-nikud pasul. Even if you remove the dots, it's still going to be pasul. Ki yesh im l'mikra ul-mesores, because we have a specific way of reading it and the way that it's supposed to be written. V'menakto ein kan mesores kach pashim b'meseches over. And if you put dots on it, that's not the Mesorah, as is clear from Maseches Sofrim, and so to Rav Hai, and Shuvas HaRashba, etc. So don't put any markings in the in the Sefer Torah. So this does not apply, by the way, to a Megillah, which is why in the Shul Megillah, Sheldon probably has noticed that I've put a few pencil marks in there over the years. But it does apply to a Sefer Torah, because that specifically has this Mesorah. So as we turn to the Shulchan Aruch, correct. So in my eighth grade Rebbe, Rabbi Pearl, told me he used to be the rabbi in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, which is where I ended up being the chazan for many years, but that was way at right. Pearl was the rabbi there, then he was my teacher in eighth grade, and then I went to high school and went to college, and then ended up in Pawtucket, Rhode Island for Yom Narayim a few times. So he said when he became the rabbi there, the job was, and still is, that you had to lean every Shabbos. That was the job of the rabbi. Besides give drashas and do everything, you had to be the Bal Koreh. So he's like, I don't know how to be the Bal Koreh every week. So that's going to take like all my time. So he wrote, he got see-through plastic, whatever, and wrote on it and put a, what's it called? Paper clips, right? And use paper clips to attach it. And in fact, attached it before Shabbos, so like it was in the Sefer Torah, right? So like he did Hagben Glila, he held up his plastic things because it, you know, if it moved around, it would be all off, right? So he had it all placed there before. So if you ever get one of those IQ tests where they ask you, list all the things that you could do with a paperclip. So one of the answers can be, you can use it to hold down your plastic trup and nekudos, so that you don't have to spend all your time preparing the leaning. So actually, when I was the chazan there, I asked them, do you remember that the rabbi used to do? He said, oh, yeah, in the plastic bag in the back of the office. I think we still have all of his plastic things that he used for the leaning. Right. You think it's more work? No, you only have to do it once. Right?
That's. But it has to be custom made for every safer term. There's a slight difference, so you can't make these in solo.
Correct. Right. There is the fellow in our neighborhood, Shmuel Hoffman, who does the videos, right? Who did our videos. So he recently did a video for a different fellow who lives in our neighborhood that gives bar mitzvah lessons. And he, this Chabad guy, has marketed a whole method where he makes for each bar mitzvah boy like the text with plastic things to go on top, one with nekudos and one with the trup. So you can first learn it with the trup, and then you take that off, and you have only the kudos. Then you take the kudos off, and all you have is the text itself. So, anyways, the latest in bar mitzvah training coming straight out of Wynwood.
But when you have them in the Megillah, it's mostly trup. So, you think trup is included with the kudos prohibition?
Yeah, no, it seems that it's everything. In fact, we didn't... The next section, the part of the Beis Yosef that we left out, discusses having blank spaces between psukim, right? Just marking off when the pasuk ends. And that's a machlokas, whether it just means that you can't that you can't have it unusual, meaning you can't make it even further apart than other sections, or does it mean that you just can't put a mark there? But either way, yeah, putting the mark, putting the truff would be problematic. Yeah. Okay, so as we go to the Shulchan Aruch itself, so we see Reishayin Dalet Sif Vav. So Tzarich Lizaher B'Tikana Osios Uviziyunin K'moshin Yisbar Ba'ora Chilchos Tvilim. Right, you have to be careful with the letters and the Zions, as I talked about earlier in Orachaim. So that's like all, you know, that's a very large section there where he goes through every letter. However, so... So how ma'akev, so he doesn't get into here how ma'akev it is. So I did put on, right, on the page here, I didn't list it here, I think the Mishnah Berurah. So I just want to show how this, so, but what's interesting here, he doesn't quote the, or the Ramah doesn't comment that there are those who hold that it is ma'akev. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, pages 4 and 5 of the source sheet, of the source booklet, I guess. So you see... Simon Lamed Vav Sif Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch says Tzarech the Tayeg Shatnez Gates VaHasofrim Nahagu. Next page here, right? LeTayeg Osios Acheres, to put crowns on other letters as well. V'im Lo Tayeg Afilu Shatnez Gates Lo Pasul. If you don't do that, even for the Shatnez Gates, it's not going to be Pasul. And the Ramah doesn't argue, even though the Rush seemed to argue, and at least the Tur assumed the Rush argued, the Ramah doesn't make any comment about that. However, in the Mishnah Berurah, does say, right, v'habach posel bazeh, v'gam hagra bibiuro, miyashiv l'rev eliez, l'chuli alma, min hashitos, umevi harbe poskim demachmir bazeh, right, the Gra works through these different shitos and says to be machmir, imkein al korchach mehamnachun ma'od lachush lazeh ulatachmim, right, to be choshish for this and to fix them, right, to do them, acharkach v'tikun mahani afilu be tefillin u'mezuzas, v'lo havi bazeh shelo kesidron. And you should do it by tefillin and mezuzahs, and that's not going to be considered shelo kesidron, right? What did that mean, right? By Sefer Torah, you can just make whatever corrections you want. When it comes to tefillin and mezuzahs, it has to be in order. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying, yeah, but just adding a letter, that's not considered shelo kesidron because the letter is already there. Vida od, and also, this is also very helpful, da mechubar mayri she'asa rosh ha'os lamala ketikun, ach shechiser hatagin she'alav, that the mechaber, what he's talking about, where you make the top of the letter, has to be correct, but it's missing tagin. Aval im asa lamala rosho agul, gam kein mashma beis yosef de'en lahakil. That if you make the top rounded, meaning something that's supposed to be straight, you make it rounded. So the different letters have... what happened to my thing here? I forgot my crib sheet, which one is which. But a resh needs to be rounded, a dalet needs to be straight, chafs are rounded, right? While other ones are straight. I'm just forgetting right now. But right, whether the corners should be round or have corners. So here he's saying that's ma'akev. Dein la'akel afilu b'di'evet. Now. It's a little confusing because in the Mishnah Sofrim, right, you see in below is where the Mishnah Sofrim begins. So the Mishnah Sofrim is about 10 pages or so, where it goes through all of the different letters and gives you the details of each, right? So this is the Mishnah Sofrim, right? Each one of those paragraphs talks about the halachos of each letter. So I remember having a discussion with my nephew Eliezer, who's the sofer, right? So the mem samach are supposed to be round. I forget which one it was. I mean, it must have been a resh, right? Because that was my question. That the dalid, right? The dalid has, when you look at the dalid has like a part sticking out the back, right? And a resh is supposed to be rounded. Why does the resh have to be rounded? So the Masechta Sofrim says, well, it needs to be rounded because otherwise it's going to look like a dalet, right? So then how do you then distinguish? So what if it's like close, right? It's not so often not easy to tell. Is it rounded or not rounded? So the answer is, well, she'ila latinok, right? You ask the child, right? As we talked about that last week, right? You find a child and ask the child, does this look like a resh to you or does it look like a dalet? So my question was, well, wait a second. Any child learned in first grade that, well, how do you know the difference between a resh and a dalet? Not whether it's rounded. The difference is whether there's a part sticking out the back or not. Right, so a child is always going to call it a resh if there's not a part sticking out the back. Right, so my nephew said, yeah, it's a good question. I had the same question. No one's ever been able to answer that question. And you have that somewhat regularly in these Mishnah Sofrim that regularly he'll tell you, oh, you got to ask a child, but often the child will be tipped off the way it's supposed to be from other matters, and it's a little hard to know what the Mishnah Brewer is recommending with that Mishnah Sofer. Is there something else I wanted to? Yeah, feel a bit. So he says in terms of that, the structure of the letter itself, that is going to be ma'akev. And he says v'tzarchi in lemaisa ki l'chora laharambam yish lahakev b'chol gavne. And he says a little bit question lemaisa because the Rambam probably would be makel on that too. I mean, the Rambam seems to be saying you need to make it look like the letter, right? As long as you can read as the letter, it sounds like the Rambam would say that that's sufficient. So the Mishnah Brewer is unclear whether you would passel a Sefer Torah as a result. At the very end of here, the Mishnah Brewer does quote some idea for the Shatnez Gates. I have no idea what he's talking about. Some kind of the Kabbalistic reasons that the letters represent the weapons and the war and the fight or something. I don't know what he means, but at least you see some semblance there of the idea of what the purpose of these things are. Now, the Right, so I would just add, while we're on this page here, or actually on the previous page, so you see in Sif Yud Beis, that's where the Mishnah Brewer quotes the idea of doing the Zayunin, right, the T's as the Tagim, right, Be'elu Artzos, V'tov Yoser Lasso, I underlined it, V'tov Yoser Lasso's Kol Echad Ke'en Temuna Zayin, Akshu Ketanim V'dakim O, that they should be like the Zayins, but they should be very, very small and very skinny, such that they don't cross into one another. I did see someplace, and now I'm not finding it, that often, especially if you do the Zions, so often the Tagim will touch on top. I mean, and that's a problem, right? It's not gonna, if V3, you'll have some of the things will touch one another. So how do you correct that? So the easiest way of correcting it is to scrape off the connection between the two. The problem is, as you spoke about last week, that could be a problem of erasing in order to cause a creating a letter by erasing, which is called the term, right? But wherever I was reading this, commented that no, that's not considered to be a problem of because the letter is already formed, right? The letter itself is formed, just the tagim are different, and forming the tagim in that way is not going to be ma'akev for the letter. That is going to be permissible. Okay, so just a couple of more points here. Take a look at in Simon. So Simon Vav has talked about Batikuna Osio. So if you take a look, there's a very long Piskei Tshuva, which we're not going to cover all of it, but the Piskei Tshuva in the beginning of Hey says, Ayin B'tshuvos Maharam Galanti, Simon Kuf Chaf Dalet, Al Davar Chaf Pshuta, with regards to a long Chaf. Shekasa Veis Yosef Baruch Haim, Simon Laman Vav, the Tzricha Lios Agula, Lamala, should be rounded on top, Kamo Reish, like a Reish, V'chacham Echad, Kasav, Shia Lamala, Kamo Dalet. And one Chacham wrote that, no, it shouldn't be like a Reish, it should be like a Dalet. Upasak demanda Ovid Kamar Ovid, Umanda Ovid Kamar Ovid, V'teloi b'minog shenoagin b'oso'ir. And that din is going to be teloi based on the minog of that city. And that's sort of, and that's the theme, obviously, of the rest of this Piskei Tshuva. But that is this idea of where is halacha end and where does minhag begin in the realm of safras, right? You already saw it. That's the machlokas Rambam and Rush. The Rush is saying the Gemara is stating a din by saying you need to have the crowns on top, and the Rambam is saying no. That's the minhag at the time, and you know that's one idea for the minhag, and it's that it's all tully in minhagim. So this came up. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this before, but I have actually tracked down the source again. This came up very early here when I was in Beth HaMedrash, because I believe what's his name, Derman, Nita Quint's grandson. So he had an aliyah one Shabbos when he was here, and after laning, he didn't do it during laning. I think he did after laning. He, maybe it was even between aliyahs, he called me to the Torah, says, he pointed out that the yud is missing a kotz. Now, the kotzo shel yud, right, so the Gemara makes, what's the kotzo shel yud? So, it's a something sticking out of the yud. Now, the Gemara makes a comment that that everything is ma'akiv in the mezuzah and tefillin, even a kotzo shel yud. The problem is, what is the kotzo shel yud? So there's a three-way machlokas. Some assume it's the line on the right side, like every yud has, and then some assume it's the top, it's the line going up on top of a yud, and one assume it's going on the bottom of the yud. And we're machmir for Rabbeinu Tam that we require the line at the bottom of the yud that's known as the kotzo shel yud. So he says, hey, look, that yud is missing a kotz. So I was like, okay, but then I very quickly noticed that not only was that yud missing a kotz, but so was that yud, and 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 every yud on the page was missing a kotz. So I said to him, I was like, look, Rabbi Kaplan checked all the Sifrei Torah before he left, and obviously this is something that would have been caught. I personally don't know the heter now, but I'm pretty confident that there is a heter. After Shabbos, I called up Machon Ot, who checked all the Sifrei Torah. Truth, I'm not even sure they exist anymore, but I haven't really seen anything from them. But they were the ones who checked the Sifrei Torah, and I said, hey, what's going on? You checked the Sifrei Torahs, and all the Yuds are missing their kotzes. They're all missing their little lines coming out of the bottom of the left side. So they said, oh, no, that's okay. Most of the Sifrei Torah from Russia are missing them, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva that you have the right to rely on the sofer when it comes to those kinds of things. But, okay, so I went to try to track down this tshuva and found it. And lo and behold, it's on the sixth page of the source sheet that I sent out. It's from the first page of the Ches, of the eighth chelek, which is sort of like is the first volume that came out after Rav Moshe passed away. But so some are always a little nervous about it, but this is pretty. I think it's pretty well known. So Simon Beis, it says, but right, the parshios shenechtvu b'ksav hakasher l'shita she'ein nogin kein, right, parshios that are written in the way that are kasher are according to shitas that we aren't noheg like, and he says, right, boy v'zeh lichtu b'kitzer mashi shafti l'cha b'alpel, right, very quickly what I said to you b'alpel l'thnei kama chadash minyan minei ksav v'shenimsim b'stam yishleida she'ein hachra muchletes lifsol af achas mishitus harishonim b'tzuras ha'osus, that we don't have the right to passel even one of the shitas of the rishonim in terms of the way the tzuras ha'os is, as like the shitas of Rambam, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam v'chadoma, meaning we don't have the right to say, we're going to passel like one rishon over another. If you have a Masorah, that's okay. Skip to the other line, right, where he says, V'gam, I skip one, the paragraph to the next one. He says, V'gam lo shaykh lahagit sheish b'ze inyan shel minag hamakum. He says, not only that, but you can't even say there's really a minag hamakum when it comes to stam. Why? Because we're minag ashkenaz, meaning, all the Sifrei Torah we have are like this, and all of a sudden we have a different Sefer Torah. He says, Shadavar shiodua, rak l'sofrim. But who really knows any of these halachos, right? The only people that know these halachos are the sofrim. So what minug are you following? You're not following the minug of the shul. You're following the minug of whatever sofer wrote the Sefer Torah, right? Because people in the shul, most usually, unless you're, a member of the Shulchan Aruch Shir in Beth HaMedrash, right? Balabatim don't know any of these halachos. V'lo l'chuli alma eno k'din minug. So therefore, it's not a minhug if one guy is deciding what it is, right? A minug is decided by the tzibur doing it. But the tzibur has no clue that that's what's going on. You're not going to qualify it as a minhag. So therefore, if you bring the sofer to check a parsha from a writing that is not the minhag, umiyusar al shita acheres bahalacha, but relies on another shita, yishla hasofer lahashiv shaparsha kashera, the sofer should answer that the parsha is kosher, aval eina leminagenu, but it's not according to our minhag, v'adiv lahasik parshios matzimos leminagenu. And maybe it's better to get parshios like what we're, like our minhag, but the truth is he's referring here to parshios, meaning of tefillin and mezuzos, not necessarily of sifri. So aval ein lo lifso part, but we wouldn't passel these as a result. And that's referring to mitzvah specifically, not necessarily to Sifrei Torah. So it's based on this. I assume this is the tshuva that this person was referring to, saying that Rav Moshe is makel so long as you know there is a minhag, and you could trust that you know that Sifrei Torah that come you know that came from Europe, etc. You know they were probably written by good sofrim that had a specific minhag, and we're not going to passel such svarim. Now there is a he has a story, I think, in very early on in this book, Inside Stam, he does tell a story of a sofer who was selling something as maybe it's not all the way in the beginning, who was selling something as like mehudar, as lechatchila. And it had a lamed that was not the way we normally write lamed. I mean, we write lameds that it's a chaf with a vav on top. So he wrote the lamed like a resh with a vav on top. So he said, hey, how can you... So he called up the sofer, the author of the sefer, called up the sofer. There it is, found it. Yes, it is in the beginning. It's the very first. It is the very first thing. Right? Called up the sofer and says, hey, what's going on? Why are you selling lameds that way? So the person responded by saying... Here, a very reliable and trustworthy socher. So I looked it up. I discovered all the lamids are written in this way. So according to the Bir Halacha, such a lamid is puzzle, right? The kasha has to be longer. So afterwards, I found this socher or the seller. And I said, how could you sell the sefer Sora as mehudar when the Mishnah Berurah rules that lamids written that way are puzzle? So he said, well, according to Rabbeinu Tadros, which is a Rishon, a Lamed is comprised of a Dalet with a Vav on top, a Dalet and a Vav, and therefore, no base is required at all. So he says, I said to him, yeah, that's the opinion of Rabbeinu Todros, but, you know, we don't paskin like him. So he says, so he responded by saying, Rav Moshe held that as long as one posik says that a letter is kosher, it's kosher. So he writes, truth be told, I don't know whether or not this was indeed the opinion of Rav Moshe. Now, what do you mean? It's a tshuva. So the truth is he has on the bottom, see the maluim where I discussed this at length. So it's unclear what, you know, I couldn't find exactly where he wrote it, but I'm not sure what he means. But he says, certainly you can't sell it as mehudar, right? Meaning, and I think that's what he's driving at here. The truth is I asked Rav Shmuel about this. Meaning, I told Rav Shmuel after I started this. I told Rav Shmuel the story with the yuds, and I told him, you know, Rav Moshe Shita, which yeah. And I said, so would that idea apply to mezuzahs and tefillin as well? Meaning, if you have a mezuzah that's totally missing all the tags of the yud, if it's missing all the tags of the yuds, it's probably missing a lot of other things also. But if it's missing all the tags of the yuds, right? Would it be? Could we still permit it? And Rav Shmuel kind of shrugged and says, I don't think so. I don't think you should extend it to mezuzahs and tefillin. However, the good news is that you could add those tags. If it's missing those tags, you could potentially add it. The kotzin, the kotz on the bottom of the yud, right? So you could add them. So sometimes I have gotten mezuzahs where it's the sofer wrote them without kotzil shel yuds, and they were pretty decent mezuzahs otherwise. So I would add those myself. I would charge the person $10 or something to go through it and add all of the yuds. Okay. Okay, you know, let's maybe we'll just do Zion here in the Shulchan Aruch, and then call it out. We already got to our time here. So Zion says Sefer HaMenukad puzzle, right? Vafilu hisiru imenu hanikud. Even if you remove the nikuds, avachin Sefer sheishbo pisuk psukim puzzle. And so too, if there is a separation of the psukim, that's going to be puzzle, right? So you can't make these types of adjustments. There is a um, Yeah, so remember, so the Taz here writes, he says, yeah, but that space you could correct, meaning if you have the dots in it, right? So we learned in the Beis Yosef that if you have the dots in it, passes it, you can't even fix it, right? That you can't even get rid of it. So the Taz says, yeah, that might apply by letters and dots around the letters, but if you just have too long of a break between psukim, that you can sort of elongate letters and make it better. The Noda B'Yehuda in the Piskei Tshuva here goes even further. The Noda B'Yehuda in Piskei Tshuva Ches, he says, I'm a Tshuva's Noda B'Yehuda Tinyana Chelik Yerdeyas in Kofayin Beis, Shekasav D'Davka Kesha Sofer Atzmo Nikto Be'es Haksiva. He says, the only psul is if the Sofer added those dots in when he wrote it. Aval im nikdu adam acher, but if some other guy came along, right? He didn't come up with the idea of putting the plastic over the Torah. He just decided to write in the Torah itself. So he says, that can be erased. That if you can erase that, it would go back to being kosher. If the Torah is kosher and then you add something in it to passel it, you could get rid of what was added in order to make it kosher once again. And then the Ramah just adds, "Is v'dafka she'asa hefsek b'diyo, aval im hiniach avir bein apsukim kol she'ein bo shir parshik." The Ramah actually says, "Right, if you leave space, actually would be permissible." The Sefer Torah she'iriv bo ha'osios, and the Mechaber wasn't so sure. The Sefer Torah she'iriv bo ha'osios k'mo beget ein apsula aval lechachila ein lasoskein. The Sefer Torah where the letters are mixed like by a get. I don't know what he's talking about. If I also had more time, I would have sent a note to my get writing friend and found out what perhaps the Ramah is referring to. I don't know what he means. Aval chachila in lasoskim lachachila, you shouldn't go ahead and do it. In fact, I noticed the Piskei Tshuva in the Beis Yosef, he said, because it was really puzzled, you wouldn't be allowed to do it in a get either. Right? So the fact that it's permitted in a get means that it really is written. And therefore it would be, therefore it's permissible, therefore according within the Shittas of the Rambam, it therefore would be permissible to keep within the realm of the Sefer Torah. Okay, good. So I think we got through the letters points. Next we can get to the Shir Parshas and the openings and the closings, and we're moving along here. Yeah, sorry, someone say something?
No, I'm just saying that Shnor Lyman gave a Shir, I remember years ago, called Kotzer Shel Yud.
No, his the Shir line is better. There is a story of such a case that was publicized by Bialik. Bialik told the story of a girl had a very difficult time getting a get, and they finally they wrote the get, and then the guy disappeared the next day. And then the next day, the rabbis looked at the get and say, hey, look at that, it's missing the Kotzel Shel Yud. So they ruled her that she continues to be an aguna. Therefore, Bialik made this whole thing about how, look how backwards the Jews are, because they're not going to let this girl get married because of this tiny speck on a Yud. So I think Schneer Lyman points out that A, the story never happened, and B, it wouldn't have happened because a Kotzel Shel Yud is not going to be ma'akev in a get anyways, right? So I think that was the punchline of that Dr. Lyman's point. I mean, he points out the story never happened.
Yeah, something like that, right? It was very entertaining. He's very entertaining.
Yes. No, that's for sure.
Speaking of Schneer Lyman, I think he told me that if it should be pronounced Tashin, but I don't know. I never really know.
The what?
Instead of Tagin, it should be Tajin.
Tajin.
That's what he said. But I haven't seen anyone else say it. Usually when there's a gimel like that, you put a mark in the gimel.
Well, the mark on the gimel doesn't count lehalacha. I mean, there's no such thing in halacha as a gimel with a thing on top, which is why, like, New Jersey is spelled on a ksuva, dalad, shin, stuff like that. Right, because there's no halachic significance to the gimel with the smishik on top.
So I guess if the Gemini's put a dot in it, they
pronounce
it J.
That might be, right. Yeah, so maybe it comes from there. Yeah, okay, could be.
I don't know.
All right, well, if you see Rabbi Lyman, you can ask him. Okay, have a good evening.